FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings, Halloween style. Glad to have you along, Sean, Dalton, Kelly. Dr. Bill with our forecast. He said it looks pretty good for the trick-or-treating tonight. The big rain coming in overnight into tomorrow during the day. So All Souls Day, you get the rain. But for the trick-or-treating tonight, looks good for the kids walking around sweating in their vinyl costumes. Although, I don't know if you still have the vinyl costumes. Listen, I know this man is of the age, and he probably sported a vinyl costume at some point in his trick-or-treating career. So our buddy Jeff Poore from Blanyap and Breitbart and Yellowhammer News. Hey, man.
Hey, man, those vinyl costumes, they were awful.
Remember that? You get them.
Just stick to you.
Yes, yes, yes. You put that thing on. It was like the worst representation of whatever you wanted to go as. You'd beg and mom say, well, here it is. That's like a stormtrooper. Put that thing on.
It was like you were wearing a shower curtain.
It smelled like the shower curtain. It had zero breathability. You'd walk down the street and...
But you know, it could be worse, though. I mean, try looking cute on Halloween in your moon boots because it's snowing.
Now, see, we
it's
never
Michigan
had,
for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. Alabama, we just, our biggest fear was always the 85 degrees and trick-or-treating Halloweens out there.
Looking like Ozzy Osbourne.
The smell of vinyl, for sure. Oh, man. Here we are. It is Halloween Day, but it is also within a week now of Election Day. And let's start at the national level, and then we'll winnow it down to the local level. So let's talk about the big picture. Let's zoom back out on the Google Earth here, and let's look at the House of Representatives. You have been talking about this with us for months now, kind of what you think is going to happen in the midterm. So what do you think now? 1 week out, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm still leaning the Democrats to maybe get a one or two seat majority at the end of the day. That's what we're looking at. But I don't think it's anywhere near the certainty that it ought to be, at least based on what history tells us coming out of a presidential election. So, there's a lot of reasons for Republicans to be somewhat optimistic, but I don't think it's to the point that they need to be optimistic about picking up seats or anything like that. But I mean, it's going to be a probably a decent Democrat night in the House. It needs to be a terrible night for him in the Senate, but that's all they're really looking at. Control of one chamber, and that changes the whole equation.
Yeah, it does, and I'll get into that in a second, but you also wrote to us that a handful of GOP members are leaking internal documents around D.C. saying they believe the House stays Republican. Now, is that just because that's what they're thinking, or give us a little insight. Is there some kind of counter intelligence going on there, that you put that out and you make that the new narrative, and then maybe that gets people to not show up? I mean, what do you think of that?
Well, internal polling is what it is. It's polling paid for by whatever candidate, and you can believe it or not. And if they're leaking it, then there's a reason they're leaking it. And it may just be for fundraising purposes, or it might be to kind of, send a message to some voters, hey, this thing's not over with. But I do think there's something to it. The individuals that have linked this to me, I don't think that they're kind of scheming behind the scenes. But I do think they're like, hey, look, things aren't as bad as they are. Don't believe what the media is telling you. Right. And the media polls, they're a totally different animal than these campaign internal polls. The way the samples they use, and the margins of error, and the way they ask the questions. So, I mean, I think the point is that it's just not a cut and dried situation that the Democrats are going to take the House.
All right, let's talk about any kind of October surprises. You point out it may be a little too late.
Yeah, so like, what's going on both sides here. Watch what Trump does. If he starts saying outrageous things, and, I think people think he says outrageous things all the time, but if we hit the nutty meter, take it to another decibel, then maybe that's a distraction tactic. Maybe there's something going on where they're just – but I think the same can be said for the other side. Watch if a random Mueller allegation pops up, or something leaked from that probe. Just all these things can happen, and I think that what that tells you is if things were going one party's way or another, and they thought they had this locked up, I think you would hear radio silence from whatever camp that might be. So the fact that there's just all these little things going on behind the scenes in the lead up and a week out, I think tells us no one thinks they got it nailed down for certain.
Oh, I want to get to a couple of those nuggets, but you mentioned Mueller, and I heard yesterday, I have not heard anything more on it, and I got to dig in. But it was something to the effect of a woman was claiming that she was paid to herself make a claim against Mueller and get some other women to make claims against Mueller of sexual harassment or assault or something to that effect. I'm sorry that I don't have all the facts on that, but I heard that yesterday. Have you heard any more about that?
No, and I know Mueller's referred it to the FBI. It is kind of curious. Like, I think that when you have these things come up, they raise red flags, but the idea that all women must be believed, how does that, you know, what does that mean in these circumstances? Are we now realizing that it's possible that someone could, you know, put out a hoax claim or whatever just for the sake of upsetting the political situation? I think if you're looking at it from the Democrats' point of view, then I think you need to consider that, and then maybe that's what got a lot of Republicans fired up. Yeah, but other than he's referred it to the FBI, it sounds pretty hollow.
All right, tell you, we'll look into that. I do want to also talk about the one of the big stories nationally, of course, President Trump going on that Axios HBO show and talking about getting rid of birthright citizenship. And saying that it doesn't have to amend the 14th, it can be done through executive order. Can you give me some clarity in this?
Yeah, I mean, I think what Trump did, it was totally done out of politics, and I kind of think it was a question from Jonathan Swan of Axios. I kind of think it was kind of, hey, I think he hinted, hey, ask me about this birthright citizenship stuff, you know, before the interview, and that was the big takeaway, you know, an executive order ending birthright citizenship. Now, obviously, we could debate the constitutional questions and the statute questions and all these things, but if you're a Republican and you think that, you know, all these scary things you see about birthright and this immigration tourism racket and all these things, these anchor babies and all these scary terms, you see that and you see Donald Trump saying, hey, I'm going to put an end to this with executive order, I think you're like right on, cheering him on, right? I think there's some politics involved there. Now, whether or not, you know, this goes anywhere, I think it's got a lot of Democrats upset, and it's got a lot of the media upset. Where does that take us? And does this thing even have legs after the election? I'd be surprised.
Jeff, it seems like the GOP and the president focusing on immigration heading into the midterms. With the shooting last week in Pittsburgh at the synagogue, I was expecting Democrats to really push on gun control like we've seen time and time again, and I haven't really seen that as much as we're used to after events like this pop up. Does that show that politically that the gun control argument on their side has not been doing as well for them in elections?
Yeah, it fires up the base. Do they think that the base is already sufficiently fired up and this isn't really a good play? You got to win over that middle. You got to win over that Joe Manchin type Democrat. Maybe that's the play there. That's why they're not going all in about the Second Amendment and the park on kids and all those things. So, you know, I've seen a little bit of it, but in a tragedy of this scope and magnitude, that you really, we're not really at that point. We never got to that point. We've moved on to other stuff. We moved on to birthright citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a tell to me that, you know, you don't have the usual suspects. You don't have the Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut or you know, your usual type gun advocates in the Congress going on TV a lot, that the cable networks want to focus on other things. So, yeah, I think it's maybe they think it's too polarizing, and in the crunch time, we can't waste time getting the Second Amendment the pro gun regulation crowd fired up.
All right, coming right back, more with Jeff Poor with Lanyap and Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, also guest host of the Midday Show, coming up for quite a few days over the next week or so. We'll talk more about that when we come back. 816 FM Talk 106.5.
The pitch. Woods & Sons Towing and Recovery Traffic Center, eastbound I-10 between Theodore Dawes Road and Highway 90. Still working in an accident without injuries. Also, we've got another one, Theodore Dawes Road ramp to I-10. Westbound Government and Skywood Drive have got an accident backing up traffic towards Azalea. And I-10 eastbound, still got that stalled vehicle at the 18-mile marker. It's slow in that area. Jubilee Roofing's a name you can trust. They've been serving Mobile and Baldwin County for over 20 years as the best-rated roofing company in the area, providing new roofs and roof repairs with insurance assistance. See them at JubileeRoofing.com. And I'm Kane with your FM Talk 106.5 traffic.
All right, 822 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here on this Halloween morning and continue our discussion with Jeff Poor from Lanyap and Breitbart. Yellowhammer News also going to be hosting Midday Mobile tomorrow and Friday and a bunch next week as well. And Jeff, you were kind of lining up some of the guests you had set up. Who do you have coming on tomorrow?
We have State Senate President Del Morris locked up for sure at 12:30 Central Time. So that'll be good. I'm working on House Speaker Mac McCutcheon. Going to talk about just how the politics are going right now in state. I think the Republican Party is pretty healthy in all the races. There's three Senate races that are really got a lot of eyeballs, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. And just kind of, I think what really people are kind of wondering is how we're headed to the into next session. We're just talking the lottery, but I think the gas tax will come up, and I also think the possibility that Republicans may try to do something to some kind of expansion of Medicaid and try to figure out a way to get that federal money in the state.
Yeah, that's what's interesting, that in session this year, we will have, I know we will have it, well, at least I've been told we will have a Republican lottery bill. Think about this. Take the time machine back, Siegelman Day. So there's a Republican lotto bill that's going to come up. In addition, you may, even though they're not campaigning on it now, that once the ink is dry and the dust is settled, there may be Republicans pushing for Medicare expansion. Both of those seem kind of weird if you want the time machine, right?
Well, and you put on top of that, that I think the pathway to that Medicaid expansion is a tax hike on maybe hospitals or some sort of medical device or something along those lines to pay for it. And that's not a traditional Republican policy position either.
But it is going to be, it's the 2019 session. In other words, the one after election. So if they're going to do some major remodeling and knocking out walls, this is usually what it, as far away from the next election as you can get, right? That's when these things happen.
Yeah, this is where you want to take all your lumps and bruises and then you could heal in time for the next election. That, in a Republican state, they could probably get away with a little bit more. I tell you, I think this is going to be one of the most talked about legislative sessions in a few years, for sure.
Wait a second. You talk about sessions. I mean, Days of Our Lives writers are looking at Montgomery trying to figure out drama over the last few sessions, and this one you think is going to be more than the others.
Yeah, and I don't think the intrigue is going to be necessarily away from the State House. Remember, all the intrigue was with Bentley and how he was kind of running the show and all that. And
yeah, but before that, it was Hubbard, right? I mean,
yeah, and it was always a corruption timeline, right?
Right,
some scandal. I think this time they're really going to try to do some big things, and some of them that may not be so popular. I mean, Alabama's got some problems. They got with the hospitals closing and a lot of things like that. And the road situation, the interstates are clogged everywhere you go. So I think that they're going to try to address some of these problems, and some of these solutions may not be the most popular for your traditional Republican voters.
So, Jeff, if we were many generations ahead now and they're looking back and you're the editor of the, the local newspaper, what would be the headline that they would have on the front page?
It's probably going to be something like the lottery. If they do that, think about it. We fought this lottery fight for decades and decades. And then all of a sudden, this is what people remember. They're not going to remember a gas tax. Gas taxes change all the time. And a Medicaid expansion, that's kind of the trend right now. That's what all the states are doing. I think the day that the thing that will have the biggest impact on people's lives will be this lottery. And we'll be sitting around. Hey, remember them days we used to have to drive all the way to Florida to 9 Mile Road to Pensacola to get our lotto tickets? My gosh, man, how times have changed. And I think that's going to be like the storyline coming out of the session.
That's the equivalent of someone saying they had to walk 20 miles to get to school in the snow with no shoes on.
Yeah, I remember we had to go all the way to to Ardmore, Tennessee to get the Powerball. You believe that?
Rough kids, back in my day, the efforts we had to go through to get a lottery ticket. You kids have it so easy these days.
All y'all got to do is punch a button and you can get it sent to your computer. You
know? That's a hot take right there.
You know, what it is that is a recording of me in about 10 years is what that is. I want to talk to you about the ballot as it stands right now, looking at very few contentious races out there, at least ones that seem close. We talked about it last week. Do you still think the Parker Vance Supreme Court Chief Justice is the closest that we're looking at on Tuesday?
Yeah, I think that's the closest, but I would keep an eye on this Steve Marshall, Joe Siegelman.
Oh, we're getting into that. Yeah, I want to get into that ridiculousness in just a second so Vance and Parker, you still think is close?
The only reason Vance is going to be close is, you know, like you said, you drive around Spring Hill, you drive around Mountain Brook, you drive around Old Cloverdale and Montgomery. You see a lot of Bob Vance for Chief Justice signs. I think those are worth some votes, and I think with the money behind Vance, I think that makes it close. I you know, instead of winning by 20 points, I think Tom Parker probably wins by 10, 15 points.
Okay.
It's a closer race for what, you know, if you want to, so it just depends on how you define close.
Everything is relative. And then, yeah, the story you mentioned, so I guess what, the enemy of my enemy is my ally or strange bedfellows, or put whatever headline you want on it, but you've got Roy Moore's son sitting down with an attorney, a Democrat attorney supporting Siegelman against the AG Steve Marshall. You have the son of Roy Moore endorsing the son of Donald Siegelman, right?
Yeah. So
okay, just checking.
We love the sons of our politicians in Alabama, with George Wallace III and with Little Jim Folsom, and now these two, right? Where it's the essentially the same names, but the different actors, multi generations. So that. Yeah, I guess that's why we are supposed to care. I know that Caleb Moore, he was kind of a, you know, the opponents of Roy Moore have always used him.
He's usually in the news for getting in trouble
for the wrong thing.
Yes.
So the guy that's getting in trouble for criminal trespassing and all these other things, you I guess if you want to. If he may know the legal system better than you or I, and therefore he may know, you know, well, who would be a better attorney general, but I do think it's for all the wrong reasons.
I want to talk about this as well before we run out of time. You made a note here that Senator Shelby, Chief of Staff Katie Boyd Britt, named the BCA head last night. We've talked about the BCA a good bit this year.
Yeah, the BCA has gone through some rough patches. Alabama Power, Regions Bank, Blue Cross Blue Shield, they left for a while. Then they brokered the peace. They got rid of Bill Canary, who had ran it for years and years and years and years. The Canary is kind of an institutional name in Alabama politics, but that era's over now with his departure from the BCA. They were kind of running without an executive director for the last few months, and, you know, come out last night. Richard Shelby's chief of staff, Katie Britt, married to a former University of Alabama offensive tackle / New England Patriot, Wesley Britt, by the way. She will now be heading to BCA, and I can tell you, I know this young lady from her days as Shelby's press secretary. So she worked her way up from the person sending out the press releases, and now is running the
most
powerful institution in Alabama politics.
That's awesome, and did it from the bottom up. I like that. Okay, well, I'm going to have to get to know her as well. Jeff, as always, we appreciate your time with us. And if people want to reach out and get more from you, where do they go?
It's twitter.com/Jeff_Poor.
And of course, you can check him with the Beltway Beat in every issue of Lanyap. 8:30, coming right back with his Halloween edition of Mobile Mornings. Get into a couple of Halloween-related stories and some other spooky news that's not Halloween-related.
Hey, thank you, Kane. 8:36 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Mitch, the very last day of October, it is Halloween, but more importantly, it's the last day of Oktoberfest at McConnell Automotive.
Yeah, buddy, we're not exactly in Halloween costumes. maybe we should be, but I tell you, what we are doing is having the last day of one of the most successful sales we've had in the last 2 years. And I think the key, Dalton, has been how much money people are saving on things like Z71 trucks, the Yukons. I mean, we literally had, I think, 39 Yukons 2 weeks ago, and we have sold down to about half of those. So they're really going fast. So I just want to invite everybody to listen. If you've been waiting all year, don't wait another day. Call us. Go to McConnellAutomotive.com. You know, act fast, because Dalton, everything we have on the lot is included in this sale, and we've got that new Sierra pickup truck everybody needs to check out. That is the baddest thing on the road, too. And we're just liquidating everything. Today is the last day.
And I always say your website, a great way to check out the inventory at McConnell Automotive.
Absolutely. And it works great on the telephone. So, you know, some websites don't work great on phones. Ours does. So check it out. You're just going to be blown away. And I don't think there's any GMC or Buick dealer in the country that will beat our prices, especially today, Dalton. So it's just a chance for somebody to, you know, make their Christmas money. If you're going to buy a car in the next 3 or 4 or 5 months, save 3 or 4 or 5 extra $1,000 today, and pay for your Christmas with the money you'll save at McConnell Automotive.
All right. Thanks, Mitch. Have a good one.
Appreciate it, Dalton. Happy Halloween.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go online to McConnellAutomotive.com or see him and the crew in person at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right. We'll grab some calls here and text. I want to get to this text first, though, because, Phil, thank you. It's text like this, even though we had a lot of nodding of the heads in here and understanding in amongst us. But to see this on the text line and know that I'm being understood means a lot to me. Phil says, yeah, as a kid of the 80s, these kids today don't know how good they have it. Yes, the vinyl costumes. Smell, friction, heat, but let's not forget they would tear at just the slightest athletic movement, which would just set the night off, much less terrible one-size-fits-all masks. And yeah, you know where those things, I usually split them right there at the crotch, right? And the vinyl thing.
Trying to do that Power Ranger move.
Oh yeah, I'm sure we were doing like a karate kick or something and then split that thing. He goes on to say, yeah, the mask, the one-size-fits-all mask with the weakest stapled string holding it.
You know,
yes, that's all it was, is one staple holding a little elastic band.
And so when it popped, you had to like tie it together, and then it was too tight.
Punch a hole in there and like tie a knot in the thing to make it hold. By the end of the night, you're holding your basket, holding your mask, and your ripped vinyl pants. Phil, preach.
I have a question, and maybe this is a sign that we were very greedy. I don't know. But we carried pillowcases because those little plastic jack-o'-lantern things, they couldn't carry the good stuff. So we would find the oldest pillowcase and then just go to work. You know what I mean?
We would have the grocery bags. And then if you have one tear in the grocery bag, you have to, you know, you have to hold it because you're going to lose all your Halloween candy that you gathered that night.
Okay, but there's the split. So you had access to plastic grocery bags when you were of a trick-or-treating age, right?
Right.
I don't think we did.
I don't want to say anything. That's like another ageism comment right there.
Well, that's just truth. I don't care what isms anybody calls me. If something's true, it's true. And I don't think we had, you know, we had the luxury of the paper grocery bags that we could make costumes out of and all that kind of stuff.
No, but I mean, just to go trick-or-treating.
Yeah, we use a pillowcase sometimes or whatever. I mean, bucket, whatever kind of mom's mop bucket or whatever we could drag out. Listen, we were in a stupid vinyl costume. We weren't going to mess up our whole look with that. I mean, it was already messed up.
But Phil's text reminds me, you know, nights like this, when you were a kid, these nights were huge.
Everything.
I mean, Halloween night, the night before Christmas, it was like the day lasted forever, and then once you got out there and trick-or-treating, it felt like it went. But when you're an adult, it's like, I mean, these days just come and go. But I remember fondly some of my favorite Halloween costumes. One year I was Dr. Evil, and the rest of the family were the Austin Powers crew, and I had
that's pretty awesome,
that bald mask, you know, you put over your head, and then I had the pinky ring that Dr. Evil
so you were Mike Myers. Was it
the Nehru jacket and the whole nine?
Mike Myers, yes.
Yeah.
So, and I want to also mention, speaking of trick-or-treating, you know, we've been talking about it this week. I know, Kelly, you had mentioned again in headlines today about this move over over at change.org to move the date of Halloween, and a pox on their houses. Because, and I know, texters had said, what was I called, a traditionalist?
Yeah.
That's probably right. I am a this texter says, if it makes the traditionalists sleep better at night, they will still have Halloween on the 31st once every 7 years. I'm a big fan of tradition myself, but have three kids and do agree things would be a lot easier having Halloween on Saturday every year. Texter, I agree it would be easier, but it's on that date for a certain reason. I mean, it might be easier for businesses and to have Independence Day on the Saturday, in the first Saturday of the month, but it's the 4th of July. I mean, there's a significance to the date. Same thing with Halloween, which has about 2,000 years of history, and then even once it's incorporated into Christianity, it has, you know, I would guess hundreds and hundreds of years, maybe 800 plus years of incorporation into Christianity. So it's a night before All Souls Day. So it's based on that. Yes, it makes it, if the people at change.org know that and still say, I don't care, that's one thing. But I just wonder how many people are signing that petition have no idea that there's a, Halloween's not just a thing. It's not just a Hallmark holiday, you know, Father's Day, Mother's Day, Grandparents' Day, Boss's Day, Secretary
or
Day.
Or Sweetest Day, which is October 16th.
Yeah, just learned about that this year.
Yeah, we celebrated it.
That's a Michigan thing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's Hallmark created this day, and it's like Valentine's Day light. And if you're in a relationship, you better have something for the other person, because if you don't, you are talked about like, ooh-wee.
Thank goodness we don't celebrate that here, because I'd screw that up. But
no,
you know,
you
there's
wouldn't.
But there's certain, I mean, you know, I mean, December 25th, Christmas Day, even though we can argue, you know, if you want to get into it and talk with theologians, we have decided on December 25th as Jesus' birthday. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of text that says it might not have been then, but we moved it. And
it's too late now.
Yeah, we made it work. So, but yeah, there's certain things. I don't know. I mean, that's how I am about the Halloween thing. Just because it's tradition that, it's not just tradition, but there's a reason for that tradition. So,
I like when Halloween lands on weekdays also, and I know I did as a kid, because then you get to dress up at school. I mean, they weren't going to, even if it was on a Saturday, school would probably let the kids dress up on that Friday, but there's something about Halloween and going to school, or if you're at work, you get to dress up as an adult. I think that's the main reason that most workplaces let their employees dress up for Halloween.
I was just thinking about, you know, those employees as they go to work and they're dressed like that. The other people in other cars are looking at them like, what in the world?
And also, I want to point out that it is Halloween, and it wouldn't be Halloween here at Mobile Mornings and FM Talk 106.5 without a discussion of what I consider pretty scary stuff right here in the state of Alabama.
It looks here.
Oh, my gosh.
On display. First, we have the famous carriage haunted by my little Constance. And there's her little doll. She named it Hannah. Constance is 5 years old. Very sweet little girl. I love her very much.
Okay, we're stopping right there for a second. If you're new to the show, this is a story we found back in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the story of Kevin Kane out of Birmingham. And Kevin collects dolls. Kevin's a grown man. Kevin collects dolls that he says are haunted. And he has in his house, he has the collection of haunted dolls, and he talks to them.
Mm-hmm.
He says that they talk to him.
No, he doesn't say Sean. He has
there's audio. There's audio of where, hello.
the dolls sound suspiciously like Kevin Kane.
And not only does he have the collection of dolls, has this piece that we have given museum-like quality with our show. It's oldal.com story from Jeremy Gray back in 2015. But also there's a book.
There is a book.
And Dalton, is holding my friend, book. Was it last year or the year before you bought the book?
Yeah, because the story came out in 2015, and we've been talking about it since. Because you combed through, somehow
I found
that story.
And I said, oh my, come look at this.
And this has been our big Halloween story every year. But I did. I was searching for Kevin Kane. I figured there has to be something for sale by this man out there online. And on Amazon, actually, his first, I would assume it's his first novel, It is fiction.
Now,
I hope.
Let me tell, before you give the title, one of his dolls is named Tammy.
That's correct. One, I think probably his favorite doll.
Yes,
if you go back and watch the video, Tammy.
Every Tammy in the world is going to change her name based on this.
Yes, they will change it away from Tammy. Mm-hmm. But he wrote a book, Tammy Baby, and I might be the only person in the world other than Kevin with a copy of this book. I need to get him to sign this for me. Maybe that'll be my present for next Halloween. But let me just read the back cover for
you. Yes, here it is. Here's why you should buy the book.
Yeah, quick synopsis. Three sisters, Agatha, Tabitha, and Samantha, all three are dolls owned by Kevin. They've shared a dark secret from their childhood, okay? And it gets a little dark here. 10 years ago, their six-year-old stepsister, Tammy, drowned in a bathtub from a prank gone horribly wrong. It was ruled an accident. The three girls are now grown women, and they know it was much more than an accident. They should have confessed, but they vowed with each other never to tell a living soul what really happened that fateful night. Now the lovely doll that Tammy once cherished has mysteriously appeared in each of their homes, and a nightmare of unspeakable revenge will soon befall them one by one as Tammy's spirit returned to exact vengeance.
All right. The book, Tammy Baby, and the link to the story on our Twitter feed, at FM Talk 106.5. Also, you're putting up a picture here?
It's there now.
Okay.
So if people want to see the book?
Your Twitter handle?
At Kelly K2K Finley.
And the guy who owns the book, at Dalton Norwig.
Are you getting an autograph for the book?
I have to.
We got to work on that. The full story we'll explain it more, but there's a grown man with a haunted doll collection who has written a novel putting his haunted dolls in as characters in the novel. Y'all sleep tight. Who knew you were such a good snapper?
Neat.
Yeah. Wait, everybody's a good snapper, right?
Petite. No, that was pretty good. I mean, the volume of the snap.
Some good pop.
I mean, you can just snap, but then you can, the snaps that, well, it's just like when you have a chorus singing, somebody at church, and then there's that person who's just a little bit better in chorus, right? And you're, thank goodness you can hear them.
And they never like to show that off, right?
Nah. But the problem is the one who's not good at church chorus, who thinks they are, who tries to stand.
Who invited all their family.
Yeah. By the way, it is Mobile Mornings. Hey, y'all. This is FM Talk 106.5.
I was going to say that snap, it comes along with your mama arsenal. You know what I mean? Because I can do that in the middle of, you name the place.
That's like the Ricola horn. It calls the children.
Yeah, a snap can really be used as a weapon by mothers.
And then it ends with a point. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know you're going to get it.
The point is, yes.
And then speaking in with your clenched jaws, get over here, like that.
I know that quite well. let's grab some calls and some text here, too. I want to go to Jim in Mobile. You know what? I bet you I screwed that up. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how you doing, Sean?
Doing good. I did. I said, I know before I see the line here. I know before I did it because I was saying All Souls Day is on Friday. It's on the 2nd.
Right.
Yeah, tomorrow's All Saints Day.
I'm an avid listener, so I had to make a friendly correction.
No, I need it. Jim, I need steerage, man. No, I knew what I wanted to say. I just didn't say it correctly. Yeah, but Halloween, I mean, that's my beef with them trying to move Halloween, is it's based on the night before All Saints Day. I mean, there's a reason. So, I mean, if you move Father's Day or something to a floating Saturday, that's cool because it's not based in anything. But Halloween is actually based, you know, with the church and before that with some pagan traditions. But it has a reason it's there. So
I agree 100%. It'd be like moving Christmas or moving, like you said, the 4th of July. It's ridiculous, you know.
The 4th of July is going to be on the 9th this year. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it. You're right. So, yeah, so it's Halloween, then All Saints Day, then All Souls Day.
But that's just kind of a microcosm of where we are as people now. Everyone wants to change something so that it's easier for them.
No one wants easier.
Yeah, it's not about tradition or routine or anything like that anymore. It has to be what works best for me, even if it doesn't work easier for everyone else. It's all about me.
Well, if you change it for the right reason, things can change. I'm not against all change, but I just want to make sure people understand the reason it's that day is not arbitrary.
It's that drive-through mentality, though. I mean, really, you know, forget the microwave. I'm gonna drive through this line. I'm gonna order what I want. It's gonna be made fresh. It's gonna be very cheap, and I'm not going to put on a lot of pounds from eating.
Right.
And I'm not working out though because I have this pill.
It's fantasy land, right?
Yeah. No, we need to get our act together. We need to know our history, right?
Right. And at that point, if those folks still want to sign the petition, then fine. I can sit down and have a debate with them. I just want to know that they know the reason. And by the way, Gamecock Girl probably makes the best reason on the text line. It says, Halloween on a Saturday? Not in the South. Saturday belongs to college football. Hello.
That's a good point.
That's a smart cookie.
And Supermom saying, it's not a real Halloween if you don't have to fight with the children to get them out of bed November 1st.
That is. Yes. Or how about how you, as parents, have to inspect the candy before they can eat
them? Well, we were talking about that earlier in the show that I teach a little bit about taxation.
Oh, yeah,
to the
totally.
Children. Whether we call it taxation or, you know, maybe it's a racketeering and a gangster kind of thing I do. But, I take a cut of the action. I say, hey, you're living here. I'm running the show here. And, I just want to wet my beak. So give me the Snickers now.
I take it one step further. I birthed you, so that means you owe me for life.
Yeah, see, I don't have that one. I just say, hey, I'm here. Give me a cut.
Well, we've talked about this before, I'm sure, and with what Supermom just texted. Is there a point where, because... Let's say you get in from trick-or-treating at 8:30 or 8 o'clock.
Okay.
The kids need to be in bed within the next couple of hours if you're going to be able to wake them up the next day. Is there a time where you say, put the candy down? Like, you can come back to the candy maybe over the weekend, but you can't have them eating Snickers at 9 p.m. at night, right? Because then
right.
you won't go to sleep.
Well, that's why I attempt to take the candy and hide it somewhere, but because my children are monkeys, there's no place that you can put it high enough up.
They're cute little people.
But they can get up. They can get into it. Uh-huh. I don't care. Other than the Liberty Safe in the house, that's the only place. I'm not joking. The only place that be safe. This texter says, hey, Sean, you say you use trick-or-treat to explain taxation. At my house, we use it to explain taxation and welfare because my youngest goes out and beats the pavement of the neighborhood, and when he gets home, I get my cut, and his older brother, who may or may not be too lazy to go trick-or-treating, will somehow get his share from his youngest son's stash. So teaching a valuable lesson there.
Halloween's always been to me like the competition of how much you can get, but we're not big candy eaters. So that candy just sits around for us for, it seems like, a lifetime. It's just.
Who are you?
No, it's true. It's just like that competitive edge. You do know me.
The competitive edge, you would compete just on a Monday.
Oh, I'm okay. ready. You call Halloween on any day, and I'm so there.
You're going to do it to win. I know that. What I'm pointing out, though, is the candy sits there and doesn't get eaten.
No, we're not a really big candy house. We're just not.
Must be nice.
Now, if you drive near a bakery, it's on.
All right, so I'm going to be giving away some bear claws and Cinnabons and all that stuff.
Glazed?
Yeah, Cinnabons? Sure.
Okay.
Come by. It's going to make
a
real...
I may or may not take that.
It's going to make a real mess in that pillowcase, but, you know. All right.
Well, I'm telling Tammy on you.
Oh, Tammy Baby is queued up and ready. We'll talk more about Tammy Baby on the Midday Show today. And we'll see you then at noon. Laura Ingram's next. Y'all have a great one.